Day. Harry Day, Reel 13.
So you got home, and when did you do you have any idea when you got back to England then?
No, I can't. No, it was a Thursday.
Was it before the end of the war?
Yes, it must have been before the end of the war, because I celebrated, I think, the day.
Was it much before?
No, it wasn't.
And did you have to report back to the army? You'd gone home on leave, obviously. Did you have
to? Well, I got what they called leave, industrial leave, because of my father's, he's upset. He didn't feel he was capable to continue with the business, and I went to see the officer in the drill hall at Derby Road. He sent me to see the Minister of Labour, a man named Pete. And he asked me why I wanted this industrial leave. And that I was entitled, according to the liaison officer, entitled to this. And he said, "What are you?" I said, "We're bakers," and I explained the situation. And he said, "Well, if anyone of 10 bakers can put your business in their pocket, not going to have got it." And I'm afraid I went up the wall. I lost my cool. I didn't think a man should say that to me. And I expressed myself accordingly. Wasn't very pleasant, but I was in that state of mind. I wasn't as rational a human being as I am now. And I went back to the drill hall and explained this to this officer. And he said, "You mustn't do that, you know." But anyway, I got this leave. I got industrial leave. And the first night of my industrial leave, at 9 o'clock at night, two detectives came round to our bakehouse to see, in fact, that I was painfully employed in the baking industry, having taken industrial leave for that particular reason. And I said, "If you bastards haven't got anything else better to do, it's about time you bloody well found yourself better to do it. After 6 years of war, that's not felt."
You were working that night then?
Yes. I was rather involved in proper job. But God, after 6 years of war, for them to come round and check up on me.
On the first night?
On the first night. I mean, God, man, So I took something more than something. They might be sort of quite a good mate. So I went into their job. Yeah, no, great. Off we go.
Yeah. And what about V-Day? Do you remember the celebrations? How did you celebrate?
Well, still, I can't remember it was V-E Day or V-J Day night when I met Peter Birkin. And I used to belong to a Robert O'NCO's club on Parliament Street. It was a Robert O'NCO's club found by the veteran members of the First World War who formed this club. It was a social club, a nice place, near the big club on Parliament Street. I met Peter Birkin and took him up there with me. And of course, that time of day, whiskey was only sort of kept behind the counter, but since this was Major Peter Birkin, the whiskey bottle was brought forward. And of course, I never drank whiskey, like beer here, I never drank whiskey. And I think, and I can't remember sure whether that was VJ Day or VE Day.
And how about, you were on industrial leave, how about actually getting out of the army? How long did that take before you were demobilised, demobbed?
I was demobilised pretty quickly, having, gone through the desert campaign and the war and having a business together. I went for a short space of time to a night school to try and get back to the necessary standard of education required to attend a university to take medicine.
So you're a medical, you were keen on it still?
Very keen on it. I wanted to serve, but I hadn't achieved that situation before the war because of the death of my mother and, of course, the outbreak of the war.
And then after the war, what interrupted you then, Christian?
Well, of course, the business again. I had to help my father with the business. At that time of day, everything was rationed. But anything that you could produce in any food trade, you could sell. My word, you could sell. That's what people want.
So the combination of that and your sport meant that you couldn't study properly?
No. And to tell you the truth, I did not really put my heart in it. I wanted to live. I wanted to go out and enjoy myself. I wanted to play sport, cricket, football, rowing. When I finished my work in the bakehouse, I wanted to go out and enjoy myself. I haven't had a great deal. No one had.
What about the idea of rejoining the South Nuts Hussars when they reformed? Did you ever think of that? Because you'd only join them initially. Because you had to, the militia.
Under stress, because we had to do this, otherwise we'd be...
So you weren't willing to... Did they ask you, or contact you? And what about your relationship with the Italians? Because you've mentioned you went back. You have an enduring liking for the Italians, particularly of that area.
Yeah. I go back regularly. I've just been back 22nd December for a baptism of the child of my friend, my late friend John Franco, who was the grandson of the old Antonio who I stayed with. And I go back in August, because August is the month of fiesta. No one worked in Italy during the mese di agosto. The mese di agosto mi vuole una casca. In the month of August, I don't want to know my life. Anybody else is there.
And you've kept up your Italian, obviously.
Sorry?
You've kept up your Italian, as shows on the tape.
Oh, yeah, well, I speak Italian better now than I've ever spoken in my life. Because I can speak dialect. I can understand dialect Italian, but that particular province, that's for the chair. And we have an apartment at Port St. Giorgio, where the boat was with the red sail. We have an apartment for two families, 10 or 12 Italians. I've always left there. One family goes back to Massa, and along comes from Massa. But I'm always there with the children, to go onto the beach, to play frisbee, teach them to play snobs, hopscotch, the little girl.
Do you ever bear any grudges about the Italians who weren't so nice, like the one who threw the water on the ground? I mean... Or did you see them as a separate?
I don't bear any grudges, really, because this was the way people reacted, especially people of inferiority complexes. This was their normal reaction. You get this even now in life, don't you? If a man thinks he's a better man than another man, he's that sort of man. He would probably see a quality of clout in him. I don't know, but this is the way people do react.
So you didn't put on the few bad experiences you had, you didn't extrapolate to the whole nation, but the good ones you had were so common that you feel...
I would do that, I think, for the well-being of all concerned. I wouldn't like anyone. I mean, okay, I know that a lot of lads did suffer a lot, and I saw quite a lot of it in the Italian prison war camps. They did suffer a lot of the brutality of Italian in incidents. Yes.
Right, thank you very much.